Morning, everyone.
Morning.
You know how good that sounds on the recording. If you go and listen to it online, it starts the same way every week, and it's just a joy to go and listen to it and hear that response from the congregation to know that you're all still awake. I'm glad I don't say anything at the end, just in case. We are in the third week of our Advent series, which will finish on Christmas Day, and we're looking at hope, love, joy and peace. No prize for guessing which one we're on today. But I wanted to ask, what's worse than having your flight delayed?
Having it cancelled.
Having your flight cancelled. Well done, sir. You get the prize. There is no joy to be found in that, is there? And that's probably happened to a few people, and perhaps even recently. We've adapted the words of Robert Burns into this now famous saying, "The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry." You can plan to travel, but it may not happen. I can imagine Joseph making all the necessary plans to get his heavily pregnant wife Mary all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem by donkey, only to discover on their arrival that there are no vacancies in any of the inns. Now, there is a joke going around that this was the origin of the hymn Silent Night. And for those who can't see it, who are listening at home, Mary and Joseph were at the inn, and the man saying no vacancy, and Joseph says to Mary, "Sorry, I forgot to book ahead." Mary, Mary, the origin of Silent Night. We know that's not true, of course, but it does raise the issue of how we respond when God's plan for our life differs from our own plans and expectations. I'm pretty sure Mary's response to this situation was not a sense of overwhelming happiness. We should never confuse happiness with joy. Our sermon for this week is Emmanuel Brings Joy. But before we unpack what that statement really means, let's pray. Almighty God and Father, once again we come before you and ask for you to open our eyes that we may see your truth, open our minds to understand it, open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The more we look at the Christmas story, the more we find situations where happiness and joy are not the first words that come to mind. The big one, of course, is Herod's response to the wise men skipping town without sharing with him the location of the newborn king. Herod decides that the only way to remove the threat of a newborn king is to kill all the boys in the region who are 2 years old or younger, in accordance with the time that the wise men first saw the star. Another example is while the shepherds were watching their flocks by night, which we heard read this morning. The appearance of an angel did not bring them joy at that moment. Instead, they were terrified, as were both Mary and Joseph, when they were independently visited by angels. In each case, the angel says, "Fear not, do not be afraid." It's not a joyful circumstance that they're experiencing. And what was there to instill joy into the life of Mary and Joseph in the stable? Mary was just a young girl. We sometimes forget, because some of the pictures show her to be a little bit older, but she was just a young girl, betrothed, but not yet married. And she was about to give birth to a child who was conceived by a mystery she could not fully understand. Her planned marriage was on the brink of divorce before it even started. Joseph faced the shame of raising a child that was not his own and who was born out of wedlock, while Mary faced the pain and fear of bearing that child in the filth of a stable, without any family or friends, without any medical help or midwives. This is not a joyful circumstance. The wise men came with a joyful expectation of seeing the newborn king, whom they had travelled thousands of miles to meet. But on arrival in the capital city of Jerusalem, where they expected the king to be born, those joyful hopes were dashed when they discovered that no one in the city seemed even vaguely aware of this momentous event. Although their connecting flight seemed cancelled, we know it was only delayed. It feels like the wind has been taken out of the sails of all these people. It feels like the birth of Emmanuel brought fear or heartache or disappointment rather than joy. On a wider scale, we know that the people of God were suffering oppression from their Roman overlords, and the birth of Jesus brought no sign of change. It was just another joyless day in their life as part of the Roman Empire. Yet Christmas has now become a season of great joy for people all over the world. As Christians, we would say that Jesus is the reason for that season. But if you've been watching TV lately, you might have seen an advertisement for the Meijer retail chain which claims that the season is the reason. A little play on words by them. In other words, we generate our own sense of happiness. We experience joy because we change our circumstances to create a joyful atmosphere of fun, food and fellowship. And we do it because everyone else is doing it. And I want to say to you that this does not reflect the joy of the first Christmas. Circumstances were bad, and the birth of Jesus did not change that fact. Families were not suddenly able to celebrate together over a decadent feast, and yet people were able to find joy in their unchanged circumstances. I think the terrified shepherds were still terrified when the angel spoke to them, even though the angel told them not to be afraid. And after the heavenly choir had given their awesome performance of praise, the darkness returned, and the shepherds were still watching their flocks by night. I think that their response was probably more confusion than joy at that point. And perhaps in an effort to verify their sanity, they went to Bethlehem to find the stable. And it was there that they found everything was just as the angel had told them. It was there that they were overwhelmed with joy and returned rejoicing. Yet they returned to those same fields where they had been keeping watch over those same sheep. Their joy was not the result of a change in their physical circumstances. Later in the Christmas story, we find two senior citizens, Anna and Simeon, who both find great joy in seeing the young Jesus, even though their personal circumstances would not change, and they would die before Jesus would begin to demonstrate his power by changing the circumstances of others. There was something about the presence of Jesus that instilled joy in people. The presence of Jesus indicated the presence of God, for Jesus is our Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is reflected in the response of Elizabeth when she comes to visit Mary before Jesus is even born. The miraculously conceived baby that Elizabeth is also carrying, who will become John the Baptist, jumps for joy in the presence of Emmanuel. Mary then launches into her own song of joy, which we come to know as the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. This from a young girl who is dazed and confused in unchanged circumstances. So it appears that the time and setting for the first Christmas was not a cause of great happiness, and yet the reality is that Emmanuel brings great joy. Remember the message that the angel gave to the shepherds that night? I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is the Messiah, who is Christ, in other words, the Lord. What the shepherds heard in their minds, though, was that the long-awaited king had finally arrived, and they had great hopes that this king would overthrow the Roman Empire and make Israel great again. He would change their physical world. That was their hope and expectation. That's what would bring them joy. But the clue that God was doing something different was in the sign that the angel gave them. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. The God-given sign that this God-given joy was real and true is the very thing that could have robbed Mary and Joseph of their joy at the birth of their son. The very fact that he was to be born in a stable and placed in a feed trough. The birth in the stable was no accident. It was a deliberate act of God. He wasn't caught off guard by there being no vacancies in the inn. Jesus came to save the world, not from physical death and Roman persecution, but from spiritual death and God's punishment for sin. He did not arrive in a palace in Jerusalem as an earthly king. He did not arrive in a limousine as a political dignitary. He was born as one of us. He was born in dire circumstances to rescue us from dire circumstances. To be born in a stable and laid in a manger was actually a very fitting entrance into the world for the Lamb of God, who would ultimately take away the sins of the world. The good news of great joy for all the people was that a Saviour had been born. This is why we celebrate Christmas every year. This is why we celebrate every year at Christmas, the birth of our Saviour. Not the birth of a genie who grants all our wishes and gives us everything that we want and changes all our physical circumstances, but the birth of the one who changes our spiritual and eternal circumstances. The birth of the one who lived and died in order to rescue and redeem his people. Emmanuel brings joy not by creating joyful circumstances, but by enduring the worst of circumstances so that we might be able to share his joy in heaven. For the Bible says, for the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross. So what does the joy of Christmas mean to you? I think Mary and Joseph may have initially experienced doubt and disappointment in their circumstances. They may have expected God to change them. I mean, if they're bearing the Son of God, surely they might have expected a bit more pomp and ceremony to be attached to it. They may have expected God to change their circumstances, but he didn't. They needed to find joy in their unchanged circumstances. And I think that joy indicates a restored trust in God's plan rather than God's plan and purpose, rather than a dependence on our own plan and purpose. Joy is a restored trust in God's plan and purpose rather than a dependence on our own plan and purpose. For our plans get delayed or cancelled. Every year we come to celebrate Christmas engulfed by circumstances that are not always comforting or easy to endure. We may have family issues or financial issues which bring more misery than mirth. We may have thoughts of lost or absent loved ones that haunt our minds and bring disappointment rather than delight. We may doubt God's goodness in difficult circumstances. The story of Christmas challenges the way we respond when God's plan for our life differs from our plans and expectations. So how do you respond? With fear or faith? With doubt or delight? With grumbling or with gratitude? To experience the true joy of Christmas, the joy that Emmanuel brings, we need to stop coming to God like he's some kind of Santa Claus who will give us physical blessings that will improve our physical circumstances, and start coming to God as our loving Father who sent his Son to be our Saviour. Jesus didn't come to ensure that our flights would not be delayed or cancelled. He didn't come to make our physical circumstances better in this life. He didn't come to bring us superficial happiness in this life. He came to bring us deep joy, whatever our circumstances are in this life. He lived and died with us so that we might die and live with him. He rose from the dead to prove to us that what the angel said was true. Unto you is born a Saviour. Jesus is the Saviour of the world. As Emmanuel, he brings us eternal joy. And that's why the hymn I want at my funeral is, I know that my Redeemer lives. What joy that blessed assurance gives. May that joy, the true joy of Christmas, be yours now and always.